Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and especially to our espresso level sponsors, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and for hosting our site, and to Expander Digital for both their sponsorship and providing SEO services to us. Now enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. I'm here tonight with one of my WordPress friends, and we've known each other for a couple of years now, I think, Kathy Zant. And Kathy works with WordFence. I looked down like, wait, what did we just say? Oh, Kathy, I know she works with WordFence. I sat next to you all last year at WordCamp US watching people pick locks.
It was crazy, wasn't it? We had such a good time, though.
It was a riot. It was so much fun. And then when the WordCamp US 2020 website went up, and then I was looking at one, I don't remember which page it was. I'm like, oh, there's me and Kathy in that picture right there. It was like, oh, I felt like, you know, a little bit of a celebrity. Like, does anybody want me to autograph their picture
photo? I know. Anytime anybody talked about sponsorship, there we were as the featured image, right? It was great.
Exactly. It was pretty cool, actually. Kind of fun to be there and just to meet so many people and to meet you. And then, and now once you know somebody, then you see them all the time. So we saw each other at several different camps this year, and our paths have crossed over and again, and it's just really super cool when that happens. So
it is, yeah, and it's been really great to get to know you and just your sense of humor. I'm in it for the lulls, you know. That's the whole thing. I always tell everybody at work, I'm here just, you know, if it's fun, let's make things happen and have some fun. And you always have like the best jokes and the best like one-liner. Like, you just come out of nowhere with these observations that make me laugh. So
thanks. Yeah. You know what? Life is supposed to be fun, I think, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, for the record, I don't do that at funerals, but just anything else. Just about anything else is fair game.
Well, that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I do have some couth.
Yeah.
I can apply the filter once in a while.
That's good. When necessary, but.
Exactly. Yes. Appropriate gravitas, you know.
Yes, of course.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, right now about myself, I live in Phoenix, Arizona. It's raining outside like crazy right now. So if we get some thunder, that's what's going on. That does happen here, believe it or not. And I work for WordFence. I am director of marketing. I've done a number of different things for WordFence. I started out working in the site cleaning division, helping people kind of clean up hacked sites and get back on their feet, get secured with WordFence and all of that. And I was so good there. They were like, hey, can you do operations? Hey, can you do this with enterprise customers? And now I'm sort of doing this marketing thing. But my big passion is WordPress. And the thing that really lights me up about WordPress is sitting next to somebody who's just getting started and helping them just find their way in not only with the community, but with the software and helping people, you know, get what they need out of, you know, the platform that we all love.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. And so I've never been to Phoenix. So maybe someday. I did not apply to speak at Phoenix this next year because I'm trying to figure out. I'm actually going to try to save some money and see if I can go to WordCamp Europe, but who knows? But that'd be fun. But maybe next year, 2021.
Yeah.
I might make my way down there. That could be a lot of fun. But I heard there's snakes there, so I'm not so sure.
There are snakes. This time of year, they're starting to, like, you don't see them as much. But, yeah, I got one on my patio right before Seattle. I was just getting, I was in sort of this daze anyway because U.S. had just ended. And so I didn't really have any downtime and our cook stove went out. And so we have an outside cooker thing. And so we're like, oh, well, we'll just cook it outside. I kept hearing this noise. And I looked down and there it was a baby. It was really little and just kind of stayed there and rattled. But it's really kind of cool. We're like on the outskirts of Phoenix. So this happens fairly often with neighbors. It's the first time that's happened in the year and a half we've been here. But we have all of these guys in the neighborhood. You just call them up and they'll come right over, put it in a bucket, and they take it out, you know, far out into the desert and let it go instead of, you know, lots of people, you know, kill them. But, you know, they have a place. So we did that.
They can relocate.
Yes. Yes.
The snake relocation program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they serve a purpose, you know, keeping pests down and everything. I just, yeah. You know, it scared me a little.
Yeah, it would scare me too, for sure. Absolutely. Well, let me see your mug and tell me what you're drinking.
Okay, well, I just have tea because it's kind of later in the day. Uh-huh. This, I was going to bring the Word Fence mug, but just for something a little bit different. A friend of mine in Mount Shasta, where I used to live, made this mug. It says Glitch Magic on it. Mm. And the joke behind this was we would always joke that, you know, when something that you didn't expect would happen, that there was a glitch in the matrix, right?
Yep.
And so then we started talking about, well, I wonder if we can just like make glitches happen and make magic things happen. So it was a joke because like weird things kept happening. The more you would just like play with this idea of like changing something up completely. So we would always joke about glitch magic. So a friend of mine made me this one because of sort of that inside joke.
Mm-hmm. About, it's pretty too.
Yeah, it really is. I like it a lot. So that's the inside joke is glitching the matrix.
I'm going to remember that because I like that. Well, I got you covered because I've got my Word Fence mug.
Awesome. You do have us covered. That's great.
It was so funny. Tim called me over at Word Champions. He's like, I've got something for you. And I was like, okay. And he's like running all over looking for me. He's go, we don't even make these anymore, but I got two mugs for you for your show. So
that's so awesome.
They both made it safely back to Rochester without breaking. I had them wrapped in my t-shirts and things in my suitcase. So, and I'm drinking turmeric tea.
Oh,
my
great.
My daughter turned me on to that. I guess it's antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, and it's been helping with the fibromyalgia and things that I deal with. So
really? Is it really? Yeah. So it really is helping. Do you like the taste of it?
Yeah, I love it. This one's got honey, like built, like infused in the tea bag as well.
Nice.
So it's really, it's like mildly sweet, which I like. And yeah, it's really flavorful.
Excellent. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I was worried about turmeric. I'm like, I don't know. I do have a white mug that I usually drink it out of, and it's turned that mug yellow. Like the turmeric has completely dyed that one mug. So I'm like, no more. It's like I could put them in a black mug or only that one white mug, but don't put it in all of them. They're all going to be yellow.
Yeah, totally. Well, we got you covered with the black one for sure.
You do, for sure. So I'm good with my, and it holds a lot of coffee or tea, so that's really fun too. And it's got
awesome.
A nice handle. Love it. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. No, Tim was, he was looking all over for you. So I'm glad that you guys connect.
Yeah. He's a nice guy for sure. You've got a great team.
Yeah, we really do. And, Tim is another person on the team that's really committed to the community as well. So we have this joke where he's East Coast Kathy and I'm West Coast Tim. So that's where it started. Cause I'm like, man, it's hard flying to the East Coast. Like when I came to Word Camp Rochester, I was like all day flying. And so he takes East Coast, but there's so many great camps on the East Coast. It's hard for me to say no to all of them and just stay West Coast. So
yeah. It is hard. I know how that goes for sure.
Yeah.
So tell us how you got started with WordPress.
Well, I started, way back before WordPress, I was a web developer and I was using Active Server Pages, and you have to be really old to remember what that is, but that's where I started Active Server Pages and SQL Server. And when Microsoft went to .NET, I'm like, I'm not coming with you. I was kind of done with all of that. And so I started with PHP and MySQL, and it made more sense to me anyway. And it was just like easier. And then when WordPress came along, I was doing blogging with movable type. And when WordPress came along, I was like, oh, well, it's using the same database class that I'm using in my custom projects. So I'm just going to use it because it's easier to store everything in a database anyway. It made more sense intuitively for me. And also as a developer, I was noticing, you know, the internet changes pretty rapidly, and what is considered like a good design today is not tomorrow, and things are always changing. And I just hated having to update a design, and WordPress just made, you know, living with a website and managing a website much easier. So that's how I got started, and just kind of stuck with it. And as more and more plugins came along, it was just like all these other custom things I was doing, just didn't make sense anymore. I'm like, why do I have to maintain my own code base for this like giant thing I built when somebody built a plugin that does exactly that?
Yeah.
So it just kind of made, you know, being a developer easier. So that's what got me in WordPress.
Yeah. And then let somebody else worry about when it needs to be updated. All you have to do is test it and push a button.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the big motivators, is because I was building sites and then building like an admin module that I would turn over to customers. That was very, well, it was like one basic code base, but I'd customize it very specifically to them. And I'm like, I don't want to manage my own code base. Why should I? You know, there's a whole team of people that are updating this and making sure. I mean, I'm so old that when SQL injections were, I remember when SQL injection became a thing and I had to update all of my code and sanitize it, because when I started coding, it wasn't even a thing. That's how old I am. So
I think you and I are about the same age though. So I just wasn't a developer ever. So that's, that's why that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. Well, I've been in, you know, swimming in these waters for a long time. And that's kind of how I got into security, is because I'd noticed these things coming and just kind of grew up with it. So
That's pretty cool though. When you look at other people's sites and other, not just, I don't want to say pick on people's sites, but other sites in general, what's something you think that we as a community need to focus more attention on to make the end user experience better?
The end user experience, I am focusing more and more on intuitive navigation and intuitive getting rid of, don't try to be everything to everyone. Have a purpose for every page. Like this page, we want people, you know, to have one particular thing that they do on this page. If it's a blog post, what is your goal for that particular page? So no matter what you're developing, if it's your contact page, make it super simple to contact you, but not necessarily, you know, that they have to know like everything about your company and the hours and all of that stuff. That it's a contact page, right? And and so really being intentional about what you want each end user to get off of a page, like what's the end goal. And you know, I think a lot of times we try to oversimplify things for ourselves. And in doing so, we forget that we need to simplify things for our users. And that's something that's important to me right now.
So I agree. When you talk about ease of navigation, I gave a talk at our local meetup in October on, I called it menu magic. So I talked about mega menus. I talked about, you know, changing the labels on your menu so that, you know, it doesn't have to match the page, the long, you know, URL of the page, things like that. And, you know, I talked about a little bit about how many levels deep you should or shouldn't go in navigation. So I asked her, I said, well, how many levels do you think is too many? And I people are like 4 or 5. I said, what if I told you 3? What if I told you 3 levels is too many levels? And they're like, really? I said, absolutely. Nobody wants menus open off the page. So it's not intuitive. You're right. You've got to keep it, make it easy for people.
Yeah. So now if somebody has a site that's like really complex and they have a ton of different things going on. Now, if they go into, well, I'll just talk about the WordFront site. We have a learning center that has a ton of different articles, how to recover from a hack, how to write secure code for PHP. So there's a ton of information there. And so I'm wondering if once they get into that one section of a site, then you can be more complicated about that section. Is that kind of where you think things are going?
Yeah. So like the main navigation shouldn't have 3 and 4 levels deep is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you think about like, I guess we don't really call it the codex anymore, but the WordPress, you know, codex, I can't think of what it's called now, but it's not that way, right? It's the main high level navigation is super simple. And then it's when you start to get into the different teams and the different projects and things like that, that you get more of that like indexing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Tables of contents kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a difference between a menu and a table of contents. I would say that.
Yeah. That makes sense. So,
at least that's my opinion anyway, for what it's worth.
Well, architecting data is an intense, especially with a business that's growing or with mm-hmm. a subject matter that gets fairly complicated, really mm-hmm. paying attention to that and not just, oh, well, just put it up on the site. We'll put right. it up on the site where and how. Mm-hmm. And when it's on the site, how do you want people to
right.
take in that content? So just, yeah, being really intentional with yeah. it is super important.
And then if it is a big site, put a search bar. Let people look for the information that way too. So rather yeah. than trying to intuit where something is.
And that's also really helpful because if you're tracking what goes into your search bar, you learn about your customers, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. All kinds of little marketing tips there. Aren't there?
Yeah. Look at that. Look at us go.
I know, right? What's something that you wish you'd learned earlier in your WordPress journey that might have made your life a lot easier later on?
Okay. Is this confession time?
No, I'm going to ask you later what's your biggest WordPress mistake. So it might be the okay. same story. It doesn't have to be.
But. Well, when I first started with WordPress, because I was doing a lot with PHP and MySQL on my own and with other mm-hmm. projects, I would tear apart core. We'll just do
and then you tell people now.
And then core would update and it's like, what am I doing? What have I done with this mess? I mean, but people do that all the time with themes, right? I mean, they're just like, oh, well, we need to move this. Let's just go edit the theme. And then the theme updates and it's like, well, and the theme updates with a security update and you're not going along with it, it can become a big problem. So, yeah. I mean, when I started doing that kind of stuff, they didn't even have child themes. They didn't have a child WordPress score. So, I mean, that was one of the things that I was, that I wish I had not done, but I did. Mm-hmm. And it was a total learning experience because I was tearing it apart and putting things in different places and mm-hmm. messing everything up. But sometimes, you know, I mean, kids, what, they take apart the stereo and leave it in pieces and have to try to put it back together. It's all a learning process. So I think that was a good thing, but in retrospect, I'm just like, oh my gosh, what was I doing?
You just totally reminded me. Do you remember Happy Days, the TV show?
Yeah.
And there was one episode where Fonzie lost his vision.
I remember that one.
He was completely like, there's no point in living anymore. I'm no good to anybody. And he was sitting on the sofa. They brought in giant bags, all the pieces of his motorcycle disassembled. And he dropped it on the floor, handed him a wrench and said, put it back together. That's what you did with your WordPress site.
Pretty much, yeah. Here comes a new version of Core, and it's got security problems. Oh, I've got to update. Yeah, you learn real quick not to do stuff like that, and you learn really quick after a while to use child themes, because I'm not putting Fonzie's motorcycle back together ever again. No more.
The first question I had when somebody introduced me to child themes was, well, can you make grandchild themes? And they're like, no, it doesn't work that way, Michelle.
Yeah.
But I was using Genesis, and Genesis has all these child themes. I'm like, well, what if I want to edit that? And then it's updated, you know. But now, of course, you can edit style sheets without having without changing everything. Is what I'm trying to say. You can edit the CSS, so. But this is back before that. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll put Jetpack in because you can edit CSS in Jetpack. So
nice.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now, you go to a lot of WordCamps. I've been to a lot of WordCamps. When you think back over all the different WordCamp experiences, meetups, all of that, is there a particular moment or two even that is like, this was a pivotal moment for you where like the angels sang or the lights came on or whatever that just said to you, this is something different and this made a change for you?
With the community, with WordCamps?
With anything, like some people it's a talk they've heard, somebody it's a person they met or an experience they had.
Yeah. Well, I think a very pivotal moment was 2018 WordCamp Los Angeles. And I don't know if you know Thomas Levy. He is a developer for Lifter LMS. Mm-hmm. And he was the lead guy for WordCamp LA. And I talked to him a little bit about, he's like, I just came to these things like I'm a coder, you know, and I'm not a social person, but I am a social person, and just seeing what the word camp experience and what the WordPress community did for Thomas, I'm like, there's something here. There's something really magical. WordCamps change people. This community changes people. And that's really what got that conversation with Thomas. And then some conversations with my boss and his interest in sort of his budding interest in film is what made Open the film we made. That's where it started at WordCamp LA. It was the conversations that we were having there about, and that was like September. And then the next camp we had after that was Portland. And that was the first time we started filming some interviews, and we did had no idea what we were doing, but that changed everything. Just hearing Thomas's stories about what WordPress and the community did for him. It was starting to like bop around in my head about me too. And what is it doing for me? And it's just gotten more and more important as a part of my life since then. So
I know that feeling.
Yeah. When did it happen for you?
So I would say I was in WordCamp Toronto, probably my second one, and I brought my daughter with me. This is 2016 maybe. And I started like recognizing people that I had met the year before who remembered me.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's pretty cool that, I mean, I recognized them and they remembered my name even. I mean, yeah, I was wearing a name tag, but you know, it still was like, hey, we sat down and we had lunch last year. You want to have lunch again today?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I got to introduce my daughter to people and that kind of thing. And that was pretty exciting to me. And that's what made the next year, I decided I would go ahead and apply to speak, even though I didn't think I necessarily had anything really earth shattering to share. But that same talk is I've given, I think, 8 different times at 8 different WordCamps. So it's been kind of a popular talk, you know? And people have always come up to me at the end and say, you taught me something I didn't know, and I've been doing this for years, you know? So it was just kind of, yeah, kind of cool. Like the light turns on and that imposter syndrome we talk about goes away.
Yeah.
People appreciate what you had to share. You know, the first time I looked out, I was like, this room is packed. Oh my goodness. And there's people in here who certainly know more than I do, because I'm not a developer. I'm not, I don't code. I'm just CSS, but you know. And so, yeah, it was like that. It's those kind of things where people can appreciate what you have to offer that makes you feel like you really belong.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting because I mean, I've been around, I was around WordPress before I was around the community. And so I have gathered up a lot of knowledge. And I mean, if I'm hanging out with people who have been around WordPress, you know, people talk about, you know, governance, and there's all these like long standing conversations that people are having. And then you go and you sit next to somebody who's never done it before. And
exactly. It's like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Here, let me help you pick out the sessions that you should go to. And
exactly.
You can help somebody really get what they need out of, out of the, because you know, like a session about coding is not necessarily going to be good for somebody who's like, okay, I've got a pet grooming business and I my developer left and I got to figure this out. And we can help those people and we can provide a space for them. And then people who are really hardcore developers, they have a place too. And so I think it's just such a great community because it's inclusive for everyone. And no matter where you are with your level of expertise or experience, there's a place for you.
So coming around back to that, I'm going to read you something. I tweeted this in March 7th. And I've had this pinned to the top of my Twitter page, so I'm just going to read it off this other monitor. WordPress is about more than software. It's about more than web design or development or Gutenberg or the classic editor. Gutenberg is about you. It's about me. It's about the small us and the big us. It's more than open source code. It's open source community.
Yeah.
And that's what your film was about. So talk a little bit about Open. I mean, I was seeing it for the first time with so many people at the State of the Word, and like goosebumps, like it really hits you.
Did it get you?
All the feels. Yeah, I had tears in my eyes and everything. It was awesome. So talk a little bit about, you know, about Open, talk a little bit about the journey to get there and, you know, whatever you want to share.
Good. Well, okay. Well, thank you for sharing your first impression of it because that is like the cherry on the top of the ice cream of everything that I have done for the past year associated with this. It was just an idea. Let's explore the community. Because, I mean, if you look at the community, so many people give so much I mean, you've been an organizer. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. I'm working in Phoenix right now. It's a lot of work. Yeah. And then you have, you know, what Matt was talking about at WordCamp US last year, about $10 billion flowing into the WordPress or throwing through WordPress, you know, in various mm-hmm. different ways. And there, so all these people are giving, and then there's all this money that's being made. And I wanted to look at sort of like this juxtaposition of this. And so I had, that was what I kind of went into wanting to explore. we did 37 interviews. We had all of this content, and our director, basically, we had a first cut and was like, doesn't have the feels, you know? And then they did another cut and it still quite wasn't there. And then our director locked himself in a room for a weekend and he came back and he's like, here's what I got. And I just watched it and I was like, he got it. He's a creative genius. I mean, we all just had ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And we had all these, oops, sorry, my cat. Of course, I'm like gesturing and he just jumps up. He's like, I'm here. But we had all these ideas and we had all of these interviews and all of this content, and 37 people gave their time and their experience. And it was, we had to like distill it down to something. We couldn't just have 37 interviews. Right. And I felt really bad that some people, you know, most people didn't make it into the film, but the ones that contributed gave us the raw content that was, it told the story of the people, and it told the story of the mission, and it told the why. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, my wife doesn't understand, you know, we've had issues because I'm going to all these word camps and it's mm-hmm. my thing. And she hasn't really understood, but she watched Open and she gets it. Another guy told me that, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm not really a web developer, and my dad asked me, you know, what am I going to do with my life and things like that. And he saw it and he's like, I get it now. And so it tells a story in a succinct way that gives meaning to the people who give so much. And that we didn't go into it wanting to do that, but the fact that that has happened is just like, mm-hmm. I feel like Open has a life. There was a mission higher than I could ever have imagined. I mean, I was like, oh, documentary, let's do something, an expose, let's figure this stuff out. And no, let's not. Finally, it came like, this is a gift to the community. This is a gift mm-hmm. to the people who do give so much. And I got to do a screening here in Phoenix with a few organizers. I just wanted to see what's their, you know, does it capture mm-hmm. what they're doing? What is sure. their response to it? And so I was really lucky to see that and to have that experience. And then at WordCamp US, I mean, that was like a huge gift to us too, is to have something that we put so much effort and thought. And I mean, even just the colorization of the film and all of these minor details that would bore most people, but we put so much into it, and to have the community there at WordCamp US live streamed around the world, whoever wants to see it now is seeing it, and it's having those kinds of effects on people. Yeah. I am just humbled to be a part of it and grateful that it did what it was intended to do, or what it yeah. intended to do. Because I mean, we didn't go into it thinking, okay, right. this is what we want to do. But when it came out, it was like, this is why we're here. I know what I came for. So
yeah, when I was watching it, you know, and just kind of eyes glued to the whole thing. And of course, if you know people, if you're part of the community, you know those faces.
Yes.
You know, not every face maybe, but you know a lot of the faces, yeah. and you know a lot of the people that are interviewed and everything. And you don't have to be in the film to feel like you're in the film, because the things that people are saying are representing you.
Yeah.
So in a way, we were all in the film, whether we ever were on even 1 second of footage, we were part of it, because that's what it's about. It's about the whole community. So that was so cool.
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for saying that. Yeah, I had another person say that, you know, I'm not in the film, but I feel like you got my reasons and you got me. Mm-hmm. I'm in it. I'm
yeah.
in
yeah. yeah. I'm not there, but my story is, you know, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
so super cool. Now, somebody said, I saw somebody post, might have been Twitter or something, that they felt bad that, you know, when Matt showed the film, that it kind of took your fire away from your, you know, your grand reveal or...
Oh, the premiere party? Yeah.
Premiere party, yeah. And I thought to myself, at first I thought, oh, yeah. Then I thought, but no, because at the premiere party, like, I don't know, maybe 100 people would see it. But this way, everybody got to see it. And, like, it became a big thing. And the premiere party, I'm sure I didn't get to go. I mean, I wanted to go. I did. I was at the mercy of my group. But
yeah,
I'm sure that it was still just so amazing.
It was fun. Okay, so WordCamp US was not our event, right? And so we had coordinated, and it looked like it was happening. But we're like, well, we want to have a party to celebrate it anyway and to celebrate the community. And so maybe, you know, if something happens and it doesn't get shown, we'll, so it was kind of like this wait and see. And yeah, so people are like, well, I don't need to come to your party now because we just saw it. That's the whole thing, right? Like, yeah, it's a documentary short. And we're really glad that you got to see it. And so it didn't take away from the experience at the party at all. It just kind of added to sort of the excitement of it. Yeah. And ideally, I mean, I couldn't have gotten 1,600 people in a room and said, hey, watch our movie, but...
And live streamed it all over the world at the same time.
Exactly. And it was, that was awesome. So it was, yeah. And now, like, we're finding tons of meetups. They showed it at WordCamp Seattle. Yeah. And a lot of meetups are showing it too. I think
my meetup. My awesome. Meetup is going to show it in December at our holiday gathering. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
They wanted to see if you would come in over Skype it and introduce it before we show it. So we'll talk later.
Yeah, totally. I would love to. I'd be honored to. I wish I could come in, but that's a long flight.
It's so long. And you've already done that once this year.
I've done that once this year, and that was so much fun too.
Yeah, it was fun to hang out with you for sure. And then, of course, you work at WordFence, and WordFence is about securing your websites and being safe from all the hacking and all those wonderful things. And I'll tell you what, though, you can set too many notifications.
You can, especially if you have a lot of sites. Yeah.
Because when I was at the height of my freelancing, it was like every 10 minutes from a different site or something, oh, you need to update this plugin, and oh, you need to update this. I'm like, okay.
Especially if you have like your set plugins that you use on every site, and they all push an update, and it's like, oh my gosh, Yoast, I get it. I have to update all my Yoast.
72 of them I need to do. 72 of them. You know, the critical stuff is really important. So it's really nice the way that you've built that and your group has built that so that people really can feel secure about their websites. And so, you know, I run the meetup here in Rochester, and there's always new people, and it's great because we get to share, and they'll say things like, well, how do you, you know, set your website so that, you know, you're safer and everything. And everybody is like all in unison, WordFence, you know?
Great.
It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
I figured out how to pick a lock, though. So one of these years, I'm going to figure out how to pick a lock.
Yeah. You didn't get to the booth to pick out. You guys get so slammed at US.
Yeah, I was an organizer at US this year. And then I was also when I wasn't doing that, I was at the give table. So I was a little busy.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know what? I'll get you a lock pick set. And maybe
I can
get you some tutorials, you know. Video-wise.
There's probably something online, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to honor your time, so I want to move into my rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
I call them that just because I don't know why I call them that. I feel like James Lipton inside the Actors Studio. Do you ever see that? At the end, he asks the same set of questions. That's what I do. I'm not as interesting as James Lipton. Well, I'm differently interesting than James Lipton.
You're definitely interesting.
What are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their first or their own website?
I have to give WordFence. Even before I worked for WordFence, WordFence was the first one I put on there. Yoast, because it really helps you think about your audience and think about how you're going to connect with new users and through search engines and whatnot. And then I am sort of a nut of keeping everything tight and tidy. So can I throw two in? WP Optimize and Smush, and keeping your images small, and then also keeping your database nice and clean.
Oh, nice. I did not know about the optimized one, what that did. So I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah, I like that one.
But Smush has saved me on client sites before when they start uploading these 5,000 pixel 300 DPI pictures and you're like, ah! The whole database just slows down. And they're like, why is my site so slow? Oh, let's take a look. So yeah, we're going to put Smush in there.
Yeah. I'm all about speed, security, and performance. So
yeah.
And keeping things clean and making sure you don't have too many plugins. I mean, the sites I develop typically, think my husband keeps putting plugins on his site and he's up to like 20 something, but I'm like 10. Try to keep it nice and light.
Yeah, for sure. At any point in your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor, whether it was an official mentor or somebody that just kind of took you under their wing, that kind of thing? And who was it? No?
I was all self-taught.
Yeah.
I mean, I really started getting into the – I was living before Phoenix, I was living up in Mount Shasta, California, where there's like 3,000 people. It takes you an hour to drive to the nearest Starbucks and Target at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
And middle of nowhere – and so when I was really starting to get into WordPress and community was starting to build, there was no community. There's still no community up there. So I was kind of on my own and just, you know, I mean, I knew enough about PHP to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I stopped tearing apart core, WordPress got a lot easier to manage.
I love it. That's so fun. Who is somebody in the WordPress community that you admire and why?
There's a lot of people I admire. I really admire Nathan Ingram. Mm-hmm. He's got such heart and he's just an amazing human being, gives back so much and is always there to cheer people on and to help people. And I just adore Nathan. I really adore Adam Silver because every time I talk to Adam, he makes me laugh. And
sure
I adore
does.
And I adore you for much the same reason. Every time I talk to you, you always make me laugh. And I and Matt Cromwell, I really find I really adore Matt. And Adam, see, you're not gonna be able to make me stop at one or two.
That's okay.
Adam Warner is another person.
There's
just so many people in this community who are Jennifer Bourne. She's a rock star, just amazing. She was one of the first people she was in Sacramento and Mount Shasta. Mm-hmm. So she was one of the first people that was like really hardcore into community that I met. And I was like, wow, there's some solid people here. And so there's a lot.
I've missed some people. Oh, you know what? You can only shout out so many, right? I mean,
yeah.
I was doing an interview. I can't remember who I was interviewing now. And I asked that question and they said, Matt. And of course, silly me. I work for Matt Cromwell. I work with Matt Cromwell at Give. And so I was like, oh, Matt Cromwell. And they're like, Mullenweg. I was like, oh yes.
Oh, I'm like, that okay. Guy.
The other Matt. Yeah.
That guy, that Matt.
And I was like, I can't believe I just did that.
That is so funny. Well, I mean, I have a lot of respect. I mean, Matt, people were really mad at him last year about the whole Gutenberg thing. And I've never seen him as a really polarizing person, but that Gutenberg got a lot of people very angry at him. But, you know, I have a lot of, he's got a lot of hard decisions. He's in a hard position. And so I have a lot of respect for Matt Mullenweg too. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'm going to have to throw him out there too.
He's so soft-spoken.
He's,
like,
oh my gosh.
He doesn't raise his voice. I've never seen him raise his voice. It's just like, he's just the gentlest soul. I was just like, I just want to listen because it's mellifluous. I would say he's mellifluous.
I got to see his whole interview for Open.
Oh, yeah.
And he is so well-spoken. That little thing at the beginning we did where he's like, let me rephrase that. And we didn't have any conflict in any of these interviews. And that was the one thing where it was just like, oh, well, what's this about, right? And so we had to use, I think he might've been like, well, that was not like, so that was supposed to be edited out. But it was like such a great moment.
Perfect.
It made people think, you know, like what's mm-hmm. this, what's the answer to this going to be? So, but the rest of that interview, I mean, that was the one time that he's like, was just like, let me think about this. And mm-hmm. the rest, he's so well spoken. Yeah. Brilliant guy.
He is, and young. I had no idea how young he was either.
He's a young
guy. Yeah. No, he's definitely brilliant for sure.
Yeah.
What's something that you'd still like to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
JavaScript.
You're supposed to learn that deeply.
I know. And you know what? I mean, I remember like back in the mid 90s and learning JavaScript and like, you know, how to do mouse. We used to have to like mouse overs with images and like swapping an image out with JavaScript and stuff. And I mean, I would just like take other people's JavaScript code and put it in there. And I've never really learned JavaScript well enough to be, and I know that WordPress is incorporating more and more JavaScript and I mm-hmm. need to get better at that. So I don't know, maybe I'll go hang out with Zach Gordon for a while.
There you go.
Another person I respect too, because yeah, I really think that people like that are pushing WordPress forward and education and WordPress forward. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. So here's that question. What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made and what did you learn from it?
Don't tear apart core.
Yeah. I thought we might come back to that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's a definite one. Yeah. I feel like I might already know the answer to this next question too, but tell me anyway, what's your proudest WordPress moment?
Huh, what do you think it is?
I think it's open.
Yeah, I think that probably is. I mean, it was definitely, I mean, I've had some achievements, but you know,
sure.
I mean, unhacking 30 websites in a cPanel in one day, that was pretty epic.
That's impressive. Yeah, that's impressive.
I did that. I've had a lot of accomplishments at WordFence, but I'd say the most, the thing that's touched my heart the most is the fact that I was a part of a team that made an incredible film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a love story from you all to us. So Yeah, it's very cool. Very, very cool. If you were working in web tech, programming, development, any of that, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
I have often, I've thought about doing comedy.
Because
it's all about the lows.
Fun.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I'd go see you do that.
I'd go see you do that. We could be in it together. We could Adam Silver on stage, and the three of us could be like, you know, the WordPress comedy.
we'll have to see what we can do for next year's WordFest after party, and maybe we'll take it on the road.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I could totally see you having fun on the stage doing that. Absolutely.
It would be fun. Well, I mean, what I keep telling myself, if it's not fun, don't do it, right? So let's make it all about fun. So.
Yep. I think people, if you're happier, you actually are more productive. So
yes.
Let's have fun doing what we do. Absolutely.
Yeah,
totally. What's something on your bucket list?
Something on my bucket list. I only got down to the comedy in the prep for the rapid fire. My bucket list. I'd say travel, but I'm so tired of traveling right now. I've traveled a lot this year. I went to WordCamp Europe and that was, I've traveled out at the moment. But I mean, I'm kind of doing what I want to do. It's like, I don't really have a thing that's like, oh my gosh, I need to go do these things before I die. It's like, if I can inspire people to look at their lives in different ways where they are less fearful, this is the why that I really got right after WordCamp US, that security is important to people, because when people are feeling secure, they are more apt to go help other people. When they're feeling insecure of like, oh, how am I going to feed my family and how am I going to keep a roof over my head? They are not going to put their neck on the line for anyone else. When they're feeling empowered, they feel secure and they make the world a better place. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm here to do. And so that's kind of like everything I'm doing. It's all like really aligned with what I'm on this planet for. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm inspired. I don't want to tell you mine now. So let's say I want to give a TED talk. That's my bucket list.
Oh my God,
I
want to
give
yes.
a TED talk.
Wouldn't
that be so cool?
It would be. You know, at WordCamp US, because our guys are really into film, they filmed me with like these really high-end cameras and they made me look like I was giving a TED talk.
Ooh,
and so that actually came up. I was like, huh, well, maybe I should pitch one since I've already looked like I've done one. Maybe it just kind of flows into a TED talk. So yeah. So that's kind of on a list too of like, well, I just want to keep speaking and I want to keep inspiring people. So, but yeah, I could see you do a TED talk too.
Yeah. I have a theory of comfort zones. I have a theory of comfort zones.
Yeah.
And it's that like where I was the shyest, most wallflower, invisible child you would ever have met. I was terrified of everything. So my comfort zone was like this big, you know, like the size of a postage stamp. But if you could figure it, like you'd have to stand on one toe to try to stay within that comfort zone. But I see comfort zones as concentric circles. So I don't think one comfort zone just stretches like a rubber band because that snaps back into the same size. So I think that if you step outside your comfort zone, then everything within that next circle is doable for you.
Yeah.
So the more you step outside of your comfort zone, the bigger your comfort zone becomes and the more things you're likely to partake of and to participate in. So I want to give a TED talk about stepping outside your comfort zone.
So, that's great. Well, it's kind of, you're kind of in line with what I'm doing too, because you're like, what stops people from getting out of that comfort zone?
It's
fear, right?
It is fear. Yeah, absolutely.
And what makes people go to that next concentric circle? What is it?
Right. It's motivation for something, right? So comfort in some way or motivation, you know, like if your child had gotten close to that snake outside on your patio, you would have been less fearful of the snake and more fearful of the snake biting your child than biting you. So then you would have been motivated to be closer to the snake than your child would be. So, I mean, it's those kinds of things. You can be motivated from fear. Or you can be motivated through strength or challenge or whatever it is, but it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that's what I want to do.
I think you could do that as a WordCamp talk even.
Oh, I bet I could. I'll have to put some thought into that for next year.
Yeah.
For sure. I know, for sure. If you didn't see this part on the list, you're going to hate the next question. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents that the WordPress community might not know.
Hidden talents. Talent. I have a number of interests and isn't it weird the things that pop into your head? I'm really interested in the potentials of the human mind. So when I'm not playing around with WordPress or going to WordCamps, I am often researching things in neuropsychology and neuro-linguistic programming and ways that the words that we use and how we not only communicate with the outside world, but how we communicate to ourselves.
Ooh.
And so sort of tricks that we play on our mind in order to reach a higher potential. So I don't know if that's a talent, but it's definitely where I spend a lot of time playing around with interesting things. And I'm also really interested in, in Mount Shasta, there's kind of like a hippie community. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in lots of ways of like living closer to nature, something, I don't know about this place, the nature out there, but living closer to nature and just, I really like rocks and like crystals and, you know, I used to have a friend who was a rock hound and would bring me a lot of interesting rocks and things like that. So,
That's very cool.
Things I'm interested in, at least.
I love it. That's awesome. Oh, that sounds really cool. I love etymology. So like where the words come from and, you know, where they form from and those kinds of things. And I've studied Greek and French, so kind of a little bit of Latin and Spanish. I don't speak any of them, but I studied ancient Greek. And the where our words come from, the Latin and the Greek into English, is really fascinating to me. So.
Yeah, it is. I think that's fascinating too, because it, I don't know, expands your thinking about words in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The last question is, tell us how people can find you online. So tell us where we can find Kathy, tell us where we can find WordFence, and tell us how to find Open.
Yeah. Well, Open's easy. Open.film. WordFence is easy. WordFence.com. And it's a plugin freely available in the repository. Most of the functionality is free, so give it a try. And I am Kathy's aunt everywhere. Just Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm mostly on Twitter professionally and with the WordPress stuff. Although right after WordCamp US, like everybody in the world found me on Facebook. And I'm like, I was trying not to spend much time here, but hi everybody.
So funny how that works.
Yeah. And then my personal site is zant.com. Just my last name. So, but they can do KathyZant.com also goes there too as a mirror. So
very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for sharing not only of yourself today, but thank you so much for the contribution of Open to our community, because it really is just an amazing film. And I just can't thank you enough for creating that beauty for us all. So thank you for that too.
I was just here to make sure things got done. There are many creative people who, and all of the people who contributed their stories to our filmmakers. I'm just humbled at what it has become and how it's touching people. So thank you for telling your story of how it affected you. It really means a lot to me.
My pleasure. So thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't know when I'll see you again, but I'm sure it'll be at a WordCamp soon.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Awesome.
Bye. Well, thank you.
Goodbye to all the WordPress community, and we'll see you next time.
WP Coffee Talk with Michelle Frechette is a proud supporter of WP and Up, whose mission is to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. Visit their website at wpandup.org.